Hey there, Omaha. Welcome into another episode of Restaurant Hoppin'. I've got a fantastic guest for you today, but real quick, before we get to them, I have to tell you about Certified Piedmontese, because this is a brand I am so excited about. In fact, I will never forget the first time I had Certified Piedmontese. The crown jewel of my initial visit to Casa Bovina was a beautiful rib cap that was so lean and tender, it was almost silky in texture. The moment that beef hit my taste buds, I was hooked. These animals are raised all natural on a network of family ranches across the Midwest, so Certified Piedmontese is able to cut out the middleman and buy directly from the source. And while I highly encourage you to check out Casa Bovina, you can savor this beef at home, too. Whether you order off Piedmontese.com or by calling 1-800-414-3487, your purchase will be shipped directly to your front door. Plus, when you use my discount code HOPPEN, H-O-P-P-E-N, you get 25% off your order. How can you beat that? So what are you waiting for? Get some steaks, burgers, bacon, or other meats and experience the Certified Piedmontese difference for yourself today. And now to my guest. Hey there, Omaha. Welcome into another episode of Restaurant Hoppin'. I'm your host, Dan Hoppin'. And if you bring up the words rotisserie chicken to most people in Omaha, the first thing that likely comes to their mind is probably Costco. And that, no shade on Costco, because Costco has some good rotisserie chicken. I'm not going to lie. I've had many. But I have a couple here today that is seeking to shift Omaha's rotisserie chicken opinions with their drool-inspiring poultry. That would be Carlos and Palmira Mendez, the owners of Rotisserie Urban Bistro, affectionately known as Rub. Mm-hmm. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us. Appreciate it. Happy to be here.
So I have to start with you, Carlos, because you are no stranger to the restaurant industry. You have previously owned España, Little España, and the Hunger Block, and you currently own and manage Au Courant, which is one of Omaha's premier fine dining restaurants, and Dolomiti, which is currently, it's the pizza place that's currently taking Omaha by storm right now. But also, Rub opened a couple months ago. With all your experience in restaurants and the different concepts that you've opened, what made you say, rotisserie chicken? I need a rotisserie chicken concept in Omaha. That's what needs to happen next.
Everybody loves rotisserie chicken. I think it's a great option. I mean, for a quick meal, delicious meal, and Palmira and me were kind of big fan of those rotisserie chickens that we started working on probably a couple, 2.5 years ago, and that's kind of how things started to kind of happen. One way or another, we said, like, there's no many places, or probably there's not a lot of places who are serving it, and we wanted to be one of those.
How do you guys describe the restaurant to people who are visiting for the first time or maybe haven't heard of it before? Because it's a very unique concept to Omaha. We haven't seen anything like this, really.
Yeah, you find places like this in Florida or in Miami, in bigger cities. Those convenient places where you go and eat, grab a quick meal, and keep moving, you can find them around, not here in Omaha. So that was something that we wanted to explore and say, like, well, I mean, if one of the things that we're always happening in our life that we're rushing, need to grab a quick meal and a good meal, there's not enough places. So why we don't create this concept where you can kind of get satisfied with quality, high quality products and be able to kind of do it in a quick way.
And in a way that's not a burger or a sub or something like that, but it's something unique. Like, that's what I think is so cool about Rub is, yes, it's a quick, like, kind of Chipotle style almost setup where you're ordering and you're, you know, picking and choosing things from behind a counter. But yeah, it's not a burger, it's not a burrito, it's not something that's super, like, heavy. Mm-hmm. It's just providing people with a different option. I loved the concept from the first time you told me about it, and eating there made me even more excited about it, because it's just like, this is just so new.
Yeah, it's new. I'm a big fan, in a way, as a restaurant owner, restaurateur, I'm kind of a fan of Chipotle. And just because the way it operates and how the people are trained and people understand to me how it works and it's fresh and all those things mean to me were pretty exciting. So I'm like, well, I mean, with experience that I have in the industry, why I don't create something that is a little more elevated in a way and make it fun and tasty. And that's Rob now, Rotisserie Urban Bistro.
Palmira, what excites you about the restaurant and the concept?
So the mostly what excites me, it's that we're serving healthy meals. That's what we were trying to focus. Our chicken is never frozen, no antibiotics, cage-free. So something that you can come get your meal. It's fast, but it's healthy. So that was most exciting for us. And we have probably the best and the most healthiest chicken that you can get. Yeah. We try lots of chickens till we finally said, this is the one. That's the winner. Yeah. And I can tell it's, we try lots of different brands and you can tell the difference in the chicken.
Yeah, we use Redbird Farm, which is out of Colorado. It is a national company, but the quality of the product that they put up is just amazing. I can give you a little quick details about it. And Palmira mentioned few, but it's no antibiotics ever. It's all vegetarian diet fed. Chicken are rested before processing, which is really important for the quality of the chicken and the flavor. Humanely raised and cage-free, allergen and gluten-free, no additive or preservative, no additive hormones. So that is the chicken that we're putting up and serving in Rob and Rec every day.
Okay, I want to come back to that real quick, but just in case anyone is listening to this or watching this and is just like, I want to experience Rotisserie Urban Bistro, where is it? Located in Exarban.
Correct.
So, you just head down to Exarban Village. You'll see the sign right across the street from Saffron Urban Bistro and Herb Saint, and just right on that block. So I'm fascinated by what you guys are talking about, sourcing the chickens. Because if you're going to have a restaurant where chicken is front and center, obviously you want to have the highest quality chicken that you can provide, obviously, mm-hmm. at what makes sense for you budget-wise. Mm-hmm. How many different farms or chicken producers did you guys talk to or run through as you put this concept together?
Hard to tell, but at least probably 20 different brands, local, no local. I mean, we've been trying a lot of chicken until we found the one. And it took time. I have a little bit of experience working with, different poultry, especially with Acoran, the quality that we serve in Acoran, and what I use in the past and in Little España and España. So I was pretty familiar with the product when we started working, but not with Redbird, which is kind of something that got us really excited. When we got this product and we noticed it doesn't shrink, that there's not a lot of water in the product. I mean, there was a lot of benefits, and besides the flavor of the chicken. So that was a home run in Orke, in our opinion.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know exactly when it closed, but I think Omaha had a Boston market around 114th and Dodge. That closed sometime maybe 10, 12 years ago, maybe even longer than that. But other than that, I don't think Omaha's had anything like a rotisserie chicken concept. And obviously Boston market, very, large scale chain, very different mm-hmm. from what you're doing now. Mm-hmm. What made you confident that yes, people love rotisserie chicken, but they're unfamiliar with this concept. What made you confident that this was going to stick and resonate with people?
Quality of product. I always said that, the most important part is always double up on quality. And, when you serve quality to your customers, there's an appreciation for that, definitely. And we try to kind of angle the concept. Beside the passion of cooking it, there was also that part of the business where, it's a great concept for a catering, for example, for just a takeout, and you can dine in. I mean, there is multiple corners or side of the business that, can give us the opportunity to kind of stay there for a long time. So that is the challenge. I mean, now restaurants open, and sometimes they don't last as long as, probably we hope so, when we wanted to open it, when we started the journey. But it's competitive, but I've been trying to kind of learn, from all the different concepts and the different restaurants, and try to kind of bring something that it will be around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Now, the first time that I came in, I talked with you, Carlos, and you told me that this concept was kind of born out of memories that you had growing up, where you would mm-hmm. attend soccer games with your family in Venezuela, mm-hmm. and there was a rotisserie chicken restaurant mm-hmm. near the stadium, and you guys would commonly go there before games, and that's a core memory that you have attached to mm-hmm. this experience. How important is it to have, especially when you're opening a restaurant and there's just countless headaches, even if it goes relatively smoothly. There's so many hoops to jump through. When you're dealing with those headaches and things like that, how important is it to have the concept tied to something that's so important to your past where you're just like, no, I love this. I want to share it with people. I'm going to bring it to them no matter what it takes.
It's passion. It's believing in the that the concept, I mean, deserve the opportunity to be tried by the customers and, you know, to kind of expose why you are passionate about. That's kind of basically what it is. It's my recall of rotisserie chicken is what you just mentioned. But the reality is as well on the side is that Palmira and me, we took a quick trip to Miami and we ended up going to a Venezuelan rotisserie chicken restaurant. And we're eating and Palmira's like, wow, you know, this chicken, I'm recalling my childhood and in Lithuania. And I'm like, really? Because this does the same to me. So we got that connection at that moment. And when we're leaving, she's like, can we come back tomorrow before we jump in the plane and eat chicken again? I said, like, do you like it that much? She said, like, yeah, I loved it. And I'm like, okay, well, let's come back and tomorrow. And we came back, I mean, the day, you know, the day after we had chicken and we were flying back to Omaha. It's like, I'm going to start kind of playing with chicken. Let's make some rotisserie chicken at home. We bought a Ronco little rotisserie oven, $190 probably, something like that. And we started cranking every three times a week, Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesday. We were kind of making chicken for a year and a half.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's how it started?
That's how it started.
Okay. So, Palmira, tell me, you know, Carlos is saying that this chicken took you back and gave you memories of childhood. Tell me about those. Like, what was it about that chicken?
Yes. Well, first of all, it was always a lot of flavor. I remember I was a kid after school. It's like your parents at work. You're hungry. You know, you get some money from home. You run, grab the rotisserie chicken, bring it home. And that would be like your lunch and dinner sometimes or all the time. So when I tried that chicken in Miami, I was like, oh gosh, this is totally reminds me what I was eating when I was growing up. And Carlos said the same. It's like, well, that's the same flavor what we eat in Venezuela. So quite a bit of times we find that our food has a lot of similarity. Even so, we live so far. You know, I'm from Europe. He's from South America. But sometimes the food, it has the same flavor. And I mean, I like the chicken. He likes the chicken. It's healthy. It's good. And that's how we kind of started.
Yeah, it's funny because there is a salad that is huge in for holidays, in holidays in Venezuela that is made with chicken and potatoes. And Palmira, one day we were dating and she's like, hey, I'm going to invite you home. Come on. Can I try some food? And this is kind of what we do in Lithuania all the time. And I try the salad and I'm like, are you joking? And I'm like, no, we eat this in Lithuania. It's like, this tastes exactly the same and it's made the same way that what we eat in Venezuela.
Seriously?
So I'm like, okay, well, there's one ingredient, which is pickles, that we in Venezuela don't put into that salad. But it's like it's a potato chicken salad. That's kind of how we call it in Venezuela. And it has a little bit of mayo and salt, pepper. It's pretty straightforward, extra virgin olive oil, but it tasted exactly the same. He took me back home, and I'm like, okay. That's kind of when the conversation started, like how interesting it is to find something so similar that is made the same way in Lithuania when that's kind of what I grew up eating in Venezuela.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that. So when people ask me about rotisserie urban bistro, they're just kind of like, well, you know, it's just a chicken joint? Like, what's it like? And I want to explain it to them like this. So, like, you own Au Courant, which just puts such fine detail into every step of the dining process. And the plating is beautiful. And there's a new menu every week. Everything is so well thought out. I think what you do is you take that ethos at Au Courant and you transfer it into this fast casual chicken joint. So yes, it's serving rotisserie chicken on the go, but you are putting that same attention to detail that you put into the dishes at Au Courant, just packaged in a different way. And so the quality is still the same. I mean, it's a different product, but you can still expect that same amount of intention, that same amount of attention to detail in the dishes at Rub. How do you think owning and operating Au Courant influenced what you're doing now at Rub?
It is huge. Au Courant, even though I've been, in a way, España always was considered a fine dining restaurant. I never saw it as a fine dining restaurant, fine dining. But it's but being at Au Courant, it kind of make me learn and work, I mean, on different techniques and different ingredients and different quality products that I probably didn't work before. And it kind of make me realize the need of healthy, great, delicious food that it can be kind of done in a quicker way. So, yes, I think that a lot of it, I stole kind of ideas in a way, learning from Chobi, from Ben, from Tim. I'm always observing, always learning. That's kind of what I always do. I'm always reading. And the way they brine, for example, chicken in Au Courant is something that gave me an inspiration, but also got me ready for this project. I said, when you brine, it can be a little bit kind of messy when you kind of clean, I mean, your chicken when you get it ready to go in the rotisserie. So I'm like, no, I want to use the same extra virgin olive oil, but omega rub, and make it easier for me to be able to kind of manipulate the product and don't make so messy the kitchen. So there is a lot of stuff that I learned in the process. That's what I'm applying for in Rub to be able to make it fun and make it good and make it operate a little easier than other restaurants.
Well, tell me a little bit about those processes, because I feel like at most restaurants, chicken is just kind of the safe option. Mm-hmm. It tends to be rather boring. People are just like, oh, you know, I want to eat healthy. I'll just get the roasted chicken, or it's just fried. And it's obviously anything fried, not anything, but a lot, most things taste very good fried. Fried chicken definitely being one of those things. But I know that you have carefully worked, like you talked about sourcing that specific chicken. You've got your spice blend that you took years developing of these 11 spices. Mm-hmm. What is it that you think like enlivens your chickens and makes them stand out and be just so juicy and flavorful?
You know what? There's we marinate the chicken a day and a half. That's an important part of the process. We use the finishing oil that we use at Au Courant. It's the same that I use to marinate these chickens. So it's high quality ingredients. See, I didn't reinvent the wheel. I just wanted to make something that it was consistent and delicious. And chicken is such an amazing meat and protein that is so easy. You can manipulate it in such a easy way to be able to produce something delicious. And I learned that, I mean, definitely, in big part, I mean, from Au Courant. Mm-hmm. I think the Au Courant serve one of the best chickens. Every single time that is on the menu when we do or chicken soup, Au Courant chicken soup is probably one of the best bites, I mean, in the city.
Wow. Okay. Putting that on my mental list. I mean, for all the great things at Au Courant, chicken soup probably wouldn't have been the first thing that I would think of, but it is now.
There's a story behind that one that probably we'll talk about. When we talk about Au Courant, I will bring up, but it's a kind of funny story about the chicken soup, Au Courant chicken soup.
Okay. Well, save that for another episode. I need to have you back on to talk about Au Courant again. That'd be a lot of fun. But right now, we're talking about Rub. I'm staying focused. I'm on schedule. So I know that this seasoning blend, mm-hmm. this is a serious deal. It took, like I said, almost 2 years to develop. Mm-hmm. Like, what was that process like? Like, I can't even imagine. Like, 2 years is such a long time to just try and figure out, you know, of all the different spices and seasonings that you can put together, like to figure out this is the exact one and it takes that long. What was that process like for you guys?
I can tell you. You can tell the first one wasn't good.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was like, okay, it's missing something. And then, you know, till we were eating at least twice per week the chicken, we would add, remove.
Yeah, it was.
Add, remove till finally, like after probably one, like 2 years, we said, this is the one.
Yeah.
This is the one. And it's like, I want to eat that chicken and I can eat it tomorrow and tomorrow and then tomorrow. And then that was the.
Yeah, that was kind of the way I was. I did it increasing percentages. I kept a recipe, write down my base recipe and say, okay, ate chicken, and I'm like, okay, well, this time I think that he needs more garlic. Let's increase, I mean, the percentage on garlic. And that's how I started balance the whole flavor of the chicken. But again, it was, I mean, a little more complicated than that. What it really makes it interesting was when we started swapping brands and say, okay, well, this tastes good with this one. Well, mm-hmm. let me get, I mean, three other brands. And funny enough, I kind of probably never expected it. But yeah, never expected it in the way it happened. It was when we started trying some chicken, like, okay, no, this one I don't like how it tastes. Or it's not as good as this other brand that we're trying. Yeah. And it was interesting. It was a learning process. Like any other process in the restaurants, you envision something, but when you are on that journey, it changes. And it's like the same story with restaurants. I mean, it said the restaurant that you run today is not the same restaurant you run 6 months later. You need to be open to embrace change. And I think that that's kind of what Acronan is successful. I think that that's Dolomiti will be probably in the same path, hopefully, the same way. And we will continue kind of changing things around. And it's the same with Rob. Since the day that I opened, how I can keep the product in even to taste better and stay better, I mean, as a quality and as the way we're serving and the portions. I mean, there are always changes that we've been doing since the day we opened. And it's been just 2.5 months, probably.
What are some ways in which the restaurant has changed and evolved, even in that short amount of time?
You know what? The way we were making the porchetta in the beginning, the porchetta, for example, can be, the porchetta is a roasted pork. A lot of people ask what it is, and we're like, okay, well, we need to kind of let know that this is just roasted pork, but it's done with a pork belly, so we need to wrap it, and we need to kind of put weight on and make sure that it kind of put some pressure on, so when you roll it, cooks uniform and it's a little easier, but also can be sometimes a little fatty. And we got that feedback from the customer the first days that we opened. So we ended up moving back and getting shoulder too. And now we're marinating the shoulder the same way. We're cooking it less than we were doing in the beginning, but we're now kind of mixing it with the pork belly, which is kind of give a better product. And it can be less fatty sometimes. So yeah, that's one of the little changes that we've done. We've done quite a few.
And I wanted to bring this up later, but you brought it up now, so I'm just going to say it right now. Like, people, yes, go to Rub and get the chicken. Like, obviously, a place that's called Rotisserie Urban Bistro, they have fantastic chicken. By all means, get that. Do not sleep on the porchetta sandwich. That is, in my opinion, one of the probably top 7 or 8 sandwiches in Omaha. I mean, the meat is just so juicy and succulent on the inside, but then you got like that crispy crackling on the outside and the mayo that you put with it on the sandwich. It's phenomenal. So, okay, there, I got that out of the way. Back to chicken, because I want to talk a little bit more about chicken. This might come across as a dumb question, but I'm just interested in the cooking process itself. What does cooking it on a rotisserie and that rotating spit due to the cooking process, as opposed to putting it in the oven, putting it in a tandoor, any other type of cooking chicken? What is it about that spit that makes it special? What does that do to it?
It's a temperature. I mean, it's a low temp kind of, in a way. It cooks around 320 degrees, and it's rotating, so all the juices stays in, and it kind of, in a way, it gets, I mean, all brown all around. It's sweating. All the little fat that you find underneath the skin of the chicken, it rings and it brings more flavor to it. So it is just a combination of those different kind of cooking methods that it kind of help the chicken to stay moist and be delicious. It's really very simple. It's something that I grew up looking at since I was a little kid in Venezuela. That's kind of the rotisserie chicken. That's the classic way rotisserie chicken is cooked. And I'm pretty sure it's the same way that it's in Lithuania. When you put it in the oven, stays, it cooks. I mean, there's no that use moving around chicken and on the outside of the chicken too. That's kind of what I think the magic is.
Now, what I love about, I mean, many things that I love about the rotisserie process is as the chicken cooks, those juices and those fats, some of it drips off.
Yes.
And what you guys do, you got a pan down at the bottom of that rotisserie, and it's filled with potatoes, and all that juice just falls onto those potatoes, and they soak it up, and then you serve that as a side dish,
yes,
and they are awesome. Is that like something that you guys saw growing up and you grew up eating, or is that a hack that you came up with yourself?
No, that is pretty European. That's kind of how they kind of cook their potatoes up there. So no, there was no reinventing the wheel on that. We didn't create anything. We just knew and understood that it was tasty on the different ways that when we were working on developing the recipes, we started doing it. We were like, okay, let's kind of buy bigger potatoes, smaller potatoes. Creamers is kind of what we ended up using. But cut it in half, don't cut it in half. Let's see if it holds. I mean, that's kind of the whole, every three times, I mean, a week testing chicken was, until the day that we decided it. Even when we opened the restaurant, we weren't cutting the potatoes, and, you know, they were tasting great, but at some point, it's like, let's test it. Let's cut them and test and see how they taste and how they kind of look. And that was a home run. So they got even more flavor in and it marinates better, easier. So that's kind of what we're serving.
And they are delicious.
Always working, always trying to improve. I mean, what we're serving and providing to the customer. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I want to highlight is the sauce lineup. Just, I mean, the sauce work that you guys do is excellent. And you offer five signature sauces, from a chimichurri mojo to a hot habanero to a garlic sauce. And each is just so, like, individual in its flavor. So when you're eating a dish at Rub, if you're combining chicken and rice and plantains and potatoes and all these different sauces, I mean, every bite can be its own adventure. Mm-hmm. Are sauces something that was like integral to eating this type of food from your childhood as well? And that's something you knew you had to incorporate?
Yeah, I think, well, the sauce was always a very important part because it gives even more flavor. So I think when we start thinking about this concept, we were like, okay, let's for sure we're going to need to have a garlic sauce. And then we were like, okay, what other sauces we can add? And that's how we kind of started thinking about the ideas. And we ended up like chimichurri is always good. Then you need something like medium spicy. Then you need to have a hot sauce too. I think it just adds extra flavor. And then people can choose what they want to.
Yeah, it's very versatile. You can have a different meal every single time. You just swap sauce. For us, some of the inspiration, kind of in a way, the garlic sauce is the same garlic sauce that we were using at Hunger Block. Mm-hmm. The chimichurri is a little variation that I did from Hunger Block, but in Hunger Block was a little bitter in our opinion. So it's like, let's mix it up with a mojo sauce, which is completely different type of sauce, but it works really good with rotisserie meats. So we started combining and playing with flavors, and that's kind of what we wanted to offer. I wanted people to recognize it by color and order probably, I want the pink sauce, or I want the orange sauce, or, you know, this herb sauce. So we try to mix it up in a way to kind of make it gluten-free, some of them, to make it just for any dietary restriction or any dietary diet that people are doing. So that is another of the beauties of the concept. You can go and have a vegan platter if you want. You can make your own rice bowl in a way, or you can just go and do your rotisserie kind of meat lover plate. Let's put it like that.
That plays into something that I really wanted to ask you about, because veganism, vegetarianism, obviously that's a trend that is on the rise. Mm-hmm. Obviously, dietary restrictions, like I know you guys have several gluten-free items. Mm-hmm. That's something that's become, you know, increasingly important over the last 10, 15 years. When you're designing a concept like this that is so rooted in memories that you guys have of childhood and of, I love this thing and I want to share it with other people, how do you balance saying super traditional and being like, this is what I remember, this is what I want to serve, versus these are the things that diners are looking for now? How do you balance those two things, the current trends versus tradition?
You need to sacrifice sometimes on what you would like to do, or even on how traditional is a dish. Sometimes you need to sacrifice on that. And For example, a lot of the, in Latin America, let's say Peru is one of those countries, Venezuela does it as well. We add a little bit of beer to the seasoning of chicken seasoning, and we're not doing it in this case. Do I believe the chicken tastes better necessarily? No, but it brings another layer of flavor that it can be interesting, but for religious reasons, because people ask that to us. Do you have mustard on your, because I'm allergic to it. I responded an email recently and said, yes, we add mustard to the rub. So yeah, sometimes you need to sacrifice and take ingredients on and off and try to find a way that, you know, the product tastes or the food tastes the same way that you can envision it. But yeah, you need to just embrace, there is a need there's a need and an opportunity from your clientele that you need to kind of focus on and you need to work on. And the whole idea now, being in this industry that is so competitive, you need to kind of have an option for everyone. And it's complicated because you cannot please everyone, but you, in concepts like this type, is important. If I have a group of 10 customers and 2 people are vegan, if they don't find an option to eat, probably they will go to another restaurant. So yes, you need to kind of stay on your toes and kind of understand that that is an opportunity that you don't want to miss. So yeah, you need to please. Sometimes you need to sacrifice and put your, sometimes even your ego to the side and say, like, I would like to add. But no, you make the decision to kind of embrace those ones. And, you know, still I'm very happy with the product we're serving. I don't think that it changes in any way.
Hey there, listeners. We'll get back to my guest in a minute, but I got to remind you one more time about Certified Piedmontese. Anyone who listens to this podcast or follows me on social media knows that I enjoy my fair share of decadent meals and delicious desserts. And that's why it's really important to me to eat really clean between big meals. And that is one of the main reasons I love Certified Piedmontese. Piedmontese cattle have extra muscle mass, which allows them to maintain a rich tenderness without much fatty marbling. In fact, ounce for ounce, Certified Piedmontese beef has fewer calories and more protein than salmon. Don't believe that healthy food can taste this good? Just try it. When you order off CertifiedPiedmontese.com, use the promo code HOPPEN, that's my last name, H-O-P-P-E-N, for 25% off your order. You will taste the difference for yourself. If you are looking for steak, roasts, tenderloins, bacon, and more, check out CertifiedPiedmontese.com and experience the Certified Piedmontese difference today. And now, back to my guest.
All right, I'm going to take you guys back a little bit. How did you two meet?
At a restaurant, obviously. So my friend, she was keep telling me about this great restaurant that we need to go. And she goes like, we need to go to España. It's a Spanish tapas, really great food. We need to go there. And I was like, okay, well, let's plan one day and go there. So that day came, so we go to the España tapas restaurant. We sit down at the bar, order some food, some drinks, we're eating. And then Carlos showed up, and my friend and Carlos, they used to go to the same university, you know. So they knew each other, and that's how we got introduced.
Yeah. A week later, we were, you know, just hanging out, going on a date. We went to a party that they had, and yeah. Everything else is kind of history. We've been together for 14 years now, probably, something around there. 14 years, yeah. Right?
And for those who don't remember, España was, it was a restaurant in Benson where Ocarant currently is now. So correct. That's wild. You guys met there. I did not know that.
Yeah. At the restaurant.
Yeah, that was at España.
Did you, Palmira, did you have experience in the restaurant industry before meeting Carlos?
No. So, I would cook, you know, I love to cook, and I mean, I thought I'm doing decent job, so, but not a restaurant.
What has it been like getting into this crazy life with him?
It was interesting, right? For sure. Very busy. It's a lot of days that we don't really see each other because, you know, I have a different job too, so sometimes I leave very early, come back late, and then, you know, he comes back late, I already sleeping, and sometimes we just say pretty much hi and bye, so it's always busy.
Yeah, it is a life that it takes a lot of sacrifice having restaurants. I don't think that a lot of people really understand what it takes and what it is to own one restaurant or two and even three. Is very interesting. Yeah. I always say that I know what time I'm leaving home, but I know what time I'm coming back. And my days, for example, Palmira's days are crazy busy too. Mine's, I leave sometimes at, depending if I need to drop off my boys or our kid at school, I leave home at 7:30 in the morning, even earlier than that, but I come back at 12, 1, 1:30. Sometimes I go home and turn the computer on and keep working. That's what it requires. I mean, it's you are there, I mean, to provide service and take care of your customers and your employees too. It takes what it takes.
So where does that drive come from? Because I think a lot of people would probably hear that and say 7:30 in the morning until, you know, midnight and maybe even later. Mm-hmm. That sounds awful. Yeah. I want no part of that.
Yeah.
But you not only endure it, but you keep going. You've added two concepts, you know, in the last 4 months. Like, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth and say you love it, but clearly, you know, you've stayed in this industry and you've continued to grow in it. What trait is it in you guys that you think allows you to function on that schedule?
You know, when we create, and I think that I mentioned this probably in another our podcast, but seeing the customer happy and joining something and you envision, it is a payback. When you are creating a concept, and what you do is like, well, I want the customer to sit down and eat, and I want them to kind of have a drink and enjoy it and be happy and have quality time at the restaurant, and that is the drive. That is the drive. Every single time that I see a restaurant happy at the restaurant or job is somebody comes in whatever mood it is, if they are happy or not, our goal is to make sure that they live happier. That is our job. And if we accomplish that, that is kind of the motivation. That's kind of what we do. It's a lot of people can think that it's a financial motivation. There is a way, yeah, but for us, it's just making people happy and serving what we believe that is good and creating an experience and giving a great time to the customer. That is my motivation, at least. And I know that is the same that Palm has. Of course, we need to pay our bills. And the industry has been getting more and more challenging every year. Our margins are lower and lower. But, you know, there is passion. You ask me, it's literally passion for serving something good, for making people happy.
Pull back the curtain a little bit for diners. Why are the margins getting lower and lower?
Well, I mean, it's after the pandemic, everything went up, I mean, in price. Labor is more expensive than it was before, at least on a 25% plus. Food is more expensive as well. Even if we're buying from any of our distributors, it's more expensive. So a lot of people don't know, but the margin in the majority of the restaurants or nationwide is 6%. We fight for 6%. So that's why it is it's an important kind of part of the process. You need to kind of stay and kind of watch your numbers and see what's happening. And if you are kind of producing or not, are you selling the volume that you need? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts into the industry that, of course, is an industry. Not every customer needs to understand it or know it. But that is the reality. I mean, if any restaurant owner is listening to this right now, I'm pretty sure that they relate to it because it's challenging.
That's something that, yeah, I've definitely seen more, especially in the past couple of years, is like people will see, you know, they'll go to, you know, a nicer burger joint or something and be like, mm-hmm. $17, $18 mm-hmm. for a burger. What? Mm-hmm. Like, I can go to Burger King and get a Whopper for $3, like, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. What is this? And it's like, well, restaurants are not gouging you. Like, they are not making a lot of money on every meal. If you want quality products that taste really good and are going to be good for your body, mm-hmm. you have to pay for it. Like, mm-hmm. that's just how it is. That's the economy. It's the same with anything else, but for some reason people take offense to it with restaurants, and I don't understand it.
There's no more $3 Whoppers Let me break the news.
that was a bad example because Whoppers are like... But I was thinking McDonald's, like a McDouble or something is like...
It's great that you bring $2. That up because you can go to McDonald's and spend $12.
Yeah.
You come to a local restaurant that is convenient, located where the quality of the product that for example, that we're serving is amazingly sourced, and you're paying $4 more. So, you know, it's kind of, it's a trait. I mean, it's what you want and how you want to feed your body. That is some of the challenges that we definitely have in this industry, depending if you are in a fine dining restaurant, you're going to a pizzeria, or even if you're going to a fast casual restaurant, which is Rob. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to get back to the origin story of Rub. So you go to this restaurant in Miami, you have a fantastic experience. You go back the next day, you fly back, you're like, okay, we need to start doing rotisserie chicken. You buy this machine, this $190 machine for your home, and you start cooking chickens yourself.
Yep.
At what point does it enter your mind that, hey, maybe we can make a restaurant out of this?
I think since we bought that machine,
really?
We saw the chicken improving week after week, and we're like, okay, this is tasty, this is good. Why would I serve it with? Okay, let's rice is a go with a concept like this. We debated if we wanted to put a mashed potatoes, but I'm like, you know, any place you go, you eat mashed potatoes with chicken. So let's kind of not serve mashed potatoes. I know it will be an easy pleaser. But let's not bring mashed potato. Okay, what is the other options? Fries. You have a sandwich. You want to eat a sandwich with fries. You want to serve the chicken with a rotisserie, like, you know, drip potatoes. We started building it. I mean, beans in Latin America, beans is kind of our thing. So it's like, okay, let's kind of add this to it. And we were working the recipes along. We were working with chicken and we're mixing salads. The big part, palmita is a big part of all the salads that we're serving in the restaurant. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you think we should serve? We have a gray carrot salad in Lithuania. And I said, okay, how it tastes? She grabbed a recipe in Russian, in fact, and she translated it, and we started playing with it, and it's like, okay, this is getting better and better. And that's kind of how the whole meal was built. Literally every week, we were trying a different salad. This one works now. Let me do a research. What about this salad? Oh, this one makes sense, and it works well as, you know, as a meal. So it's cost-effective. It makes sense. It's flavorful. That's kind of how everything was built.
Now, I don't know exactly how the timelines align, but obviously during this process, as you're doing all this experimenting, you own Okurant. Mm-hmm. Dolomiti was a concept in the works for years, so I assume that's on the table at this point too. Mm-hmm. Were there any conversations you guys had like, whoa, you know, maybe this isn't the time. Do we need to slow down? Like, are we taking on too much right now?
Yeah. The whole idea behind was to open Dolomiti before College World Series last year. And the whole point was to open Rob probably 3 months later, 4 months later. And that kind of gave me that little gap of time to be able to spend the necessary time in one or the other. And, it didn't happen that way. Construction delayed it on both ends. It got rushed on another one. And I opened like a month away. I mean, a month different, I mean, between those two restaurants. And it's been interesting, especially with Rob. He's been steadily growing. People are coming and trying, and they're becoming regular customers now, which is amazing. Dolomiti happened from... You know, it went from zero to 100 and...
You guys didn't even officially 60. Open, yeah.
Yeah, no, we did. We posted that we opened, but yeah, no, it's been a really busy 8 months. I mean, for me at least, having a stop in the last year and a half, but that's kind of what it takes.
Palmira, what are the pros and cons of running a restaurant together?
I mean, pros, of course, like Carlos said, it makes you happy to see customers that they keep coming back. They love the food. They understand what we're serving and what we try. Like, they understand our idea. Cons, of course, that really you don't have time for anything else. I just had a customer another day saying, like, you're always here. do you live here? And I'm like, kind of. I go home to sleep. But then I keep coming back here. And I mean, our 10 years old, he's constantly with me at the restaurant too. So, I mean, it's, you know, some days it's harder, some days are better. But I guess we are crazy enough to love it. That's because we keep doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, working together as a couple and going home and be, you know, husband and wife, wife and husband is sometimes complicated to disconnect from the stress and the challenges that we have at the restaurant. With other business partners, we can have difference or we can kind of approach two problems in whatever way. But, you know, he goes sleep with his wife. I go and sleep with my wife. And, you know, the next day is a better day. Sometimes it's complicated to separate the challenges that you have at work or at the restaurants when you bring it home. So that's been our biggest challenge. We work all these years together and we're one way or another challenge. I mean, we're challenged all the time to make sure that our time at home is our time. We don't work about, we don't talk much about work and don't get mad or frustrated on each other because we have a difference. I mean, at the restaurant, we kind of, there was something that didn't go the way we expected it. So it's always a challenge. But, you know, I don't think the marriage is any different. I mean, it's a constant work. You know, you're always trying to improve and get better and be fair to the other end and the other side. And that's something that I appreciate immensely from Palm.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just something that I was thinking about in preparing for this podcast. Like, I absolutely love Sarah to death. And we spend so much time together. And there's even a part of my mind as I was like trying to put myself in you guys' shoes where it would be like, it would be like really fun to work with Sarah and to be with her all the time and everything. But then like last night we were watching a competition show on Food Network and we got in a fight over like what contestant we wanted to win. And I was like, what if we were in a restaurant setting and we have a full dining room and like things are going haywire? Like, could we handle that stress? Like, I don't know what that would look like. And then when you go home, you know, how do you not take that stress with you? Like, I imagine, you know, and it's probably something you guys are still learning to balance, but what lessons have you learned in terms of being able to take, here's our partnership in the restaurant versus here's our marriage at home. And we have to, obviously there's going to be some intersection. You can't just completely separate those, but you want to keep them separate to some extent because you don't just want them to bleed completely into one another, right?
We do have our moments. I'll be honest.
I'm sure. There's no doubt.
And you know, it's good because I sometimes just say what I think. I tell him, then he tells me what he thinks, and the next day we are fine. And we just keep going. But
I mean,
that's just normal. Just like not even working together. So, you know, you know, families do have those moments. And, you know, for us working together, living together, like Carlos said, it's always, you do have those moments. But I think that just, you know, just that's the life.
Just take a deep breath. I've been working through the years to kind of don't be reactive sometimes. And that is kind of, as a human being, you get frustrated sometimes, you react and say the wrong thing. It happens all the time. I've been trying to work on that, making it like a daily goal. And, you know, again, I have so much to thank Palm. For what she does. There was no Little España, Hunger Block, probably Acoran, and Dolomiti without her.
That's really special. Take me back to the first day. So November 10th, 2023, that's the first day that Rub opened. What do you guys remember most about that day? What pops to the front of your mind when that date comes to mind?
Well, it's stressful. Opening a restaurant is very stressful, but it was great. It was a great feedback from the customers all across. Of course, I mean, it's friends and family. You invite them in some people from the industry as well, kind of in a way. It was pretty rushed the way it worked. We thought it was going to take 3 more weeks, and it's like, no, we will be ready next week. We got all the approvals, And I'm like, it's time, let's open the doors. And it's like a rip off, the Band-Aid and open. I mean, that is the complicated part, to make the decision and put in your mind that you need to open. But I mean, it's like, why you're rushing to open so much? It's like, we need to open the doors. And you get that urgency to be able to kind of open just the doors and have your customers to come in and start kind of developing and shaping your restaurant. My biggest concern that day was to be able to produce chicken the way I wanted. Because even though I can do 40 chickens at the same time, it takes an hour and 5 minutes for a chicken to be ready. We cook it for an hour and 5 minutes, let it rest for about 5 to 10 minutes, and then we're kind of ready to serve. So that is a tricky part of the restaurant, to make sure that the meats are cooked properly and that we're not rushing it. And that is kind of the biggest challenge. But, you know, the feedback was great. Of course, there were some growing pains. Figured out how to order from the menu it has an extra step. So it wasn't as clear for people to order. And when we created the concept, we didn't pay that much attention. So like, well, we understand how people want step 1, 2, 3, and 4. And no, people struggle a little bit to kind of figure it out. So I have to kind of simplify the screens and add a third screen to it and work some kinks to be able to kind of make the experience a little easier for the customer, especially when it's a first time. You open the door, get there, and say, okay, it smells amazing, which is kind of what everybody says. Mm-hmm. There was a lady 2 days ago. I just came in because from the outside it smells so amazing, and I need to try the food. And I think that is a really positive thing that even happened to us. We opened the door to work. The guys are already getting chicken moving and going and cooking and rotating. And I opened the door and said, oh, Lord, it smells good. So, you know, after all these months, we still kind of get excited when we open the door of the restaurant and it smells. Yeah.
Our biggest concern was because we're in HDR building. So we said, okay, if we open and, you know, the chicken smells very good, but very strong. Like, what if all the HDR building gonna smell like rotisserie chicken?
Yeah, we were all concerned. And that was a conversation with the construction guys. And they're like, don't worry, it's all sealed. There's no way. It will smell in the building. So I'm like, okay, that's a blessing.
Yeah, we're like, let's hope the HDR people are going to love the chicken so much because they're going to smell like chicken.
Yeah.
That would be like the best thing and the worst thing in the world. Because yes, the chicken smells amazing. So just to have that smell all the time and be like, oh, this smells awesome. But then just be like, it's 10 in the morning and now I just want rotisserie chicken. Exactly. I would need to go downstairs for lunch.
That was one of the concerns, but no, it's all good.
So what were people struggling with the menu? Because your menu is pretty simple. It's choose your meat, either porchetta or chicken, mm-hmm. choose your sides, mm-hmm. choose your sauces. Like, how did you have to simplify the process? What did people not get?
We have 4 steps in the beginning. It was pick what you want. You want a platter or you want a sandwich? And then what meat do you want with either of the options? Then your sides and then sauce. I don't know. People got lost. We all read from left top to right bottom. And when we created it, we put a number 2 on the right top corner. And people missed it. I'm like, you know what? I was talking to the guy who kind of helped doing all the design and the branding and everything. And he's like, okay, let's kind of change things around. Let's try to make it a little more simple. Let's tell people what we offer. So platter, chicken platter, porchetta platter, chicken sandwich. I mean, we have to do a lineup and then go from there to the different sides and then from the sides to the sauce. And one way or another has worked pretty well, so people are feeling more comfortable. It's a little easier, just the process. You read what you want. I want a chicken platter. Okay, so chicken platter with these 3 sides. And we've spent a lot of time training the staff too, which is another challenge. Make sure that they explain the process easily enough for the customer to kind of don't feel intimidated by it.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, your restaurants vary in level of, you know, fine dining versus casual. Like, you know, the Hunger Block is certainly more casual than Au Courant.
Mm-hmm.
Same with, you know, maybe Little Spagna versus Dolomiti. But this is definitely the most casual option that you've had, and the first like fast casual concept that you've opened, what were like some of the biggest things that you learned opening this concept that you hadn't experienced in some of the other ones?
Every single detail. There is a lot of details involved in the whole process, like even where you set your utensils or silverware. In this case, I mean the plastic. I mean utensils. Where you set up the cups, how you provide it to the customer, when you do it, when you set up your takeouts, what is the right way to do it, to be refreshing your trash, I mean, all the time. I mean, it's just little things that you need to add to the process that I never thought about in the past. When you have fine dining or when you have a casual concept, you go get your drinks, you see it. I mean, you got servers that you need to train, but the process, I mean, for all these years that I've been in the industry, seems pretty natural. With a fast casual concept is different. Beautiful learning. I mean, I'm, as I said, I mean, at the beginning, I love learning and exploring on new ways to do things and how improve, I mean, systems. I'm a big fan of that. So yeah, it's been a big learning curve, but I think that one way or another, we're kind of in the right path.
Obviously, chicken is the highlight of the menu.
Yes.
You've got the porchetta on there as well. There's also on the menu, it says there could be seasonal meats that might pop up from time to time. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to, like, if whatever you say here, I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire and be like, oh, you said you were going to offer, you know, X at this time or anything. But are there any, like, seasonal meats that you can, you know, tease some taste buds here with and give people a sense of what they might be able to expect in the future?
Yeah, I like to do a whole pig. I have everything that it takes. I can cook one at a time in one of those. And I like to kind of pretty much make it for sandwiches, make sure that the skin is crunchy and make it delicious. Yes, that one is one. We're evaluating and testing right now a rub for a meat option. We don't know yet what will be. I've been kind of throwing some meats in the rotisserie. Some works, some ones hold well on the steamer, other ones not. So that is kind of the research that I'm doing. But I like to have at least once or twice a week, we want to have those, a beef option. You can make a sandwich. Ideally a prime rib, but you know, prime rib is a high, kind of expensive product. So to be able to provide it, I mean, going to be in a little bit additional price on it. So we tested it already. It tastes delicious. We're kind of waiting for the busy season, which is summer and spring, to kind of bring something in.
Oh, I can't wait to experience that, because everything I've had at Rub is amazing. I want to get you guys out of here on a question looking forward. And this seems kind of crazy because, you know, like we said, Rub, we're recording this in late February. Rub opened in November. It's been open only a couple months, so there hasn't been a lot of past. But as you look forward and you think about how this restaurant is going to evolve, what do you see in the future for Rub?
So we probably looking forward. We do sometimes like we want to support some different ideas. We just did a little event for the Marian School that we supported the group of the girls that going to be having a trip. In March 16, we're going to do a little event to support a Lithuanian community dance group, Aushra, that it's very small. They have a big festival to go to Lithuania. So it's March 16 from 4 to 8. So just kind of maybe come up with...
Give a little bit back to the community always.
Give back to community, of that's course. That's
what,
important.
What and we believe in.
Just have more customers that loves our food.
Yeah, continue serving high quality products, and you know, we're proud of what we serve, and we always kind of open to improve, and we will continue improving. I mean, on the way, and you know, hopefully it will be, you know, a good summer. It will be a good busy summer. I mean, I love that location. I think that, you know, we're doing our part of the job to bring a little bit more people to the area, and you know, it's exciting to be part of Aktarman.
Yeah, and just probably let the people know that we're not just a chicken and a pork place. We have a lots of options for vegetarian, vegan. I just had a big compliment from the lady who's celiac, and she said that we have so many options for those people too. So just people know that we have other options too.
Yeah, we're kind of right now spending some time on catering, promoting the restaurant to kind of move for catering business a little bit more. And And, you know, people now can buy all products from third-party delivery companies, even though for us it's always more convenient and better to kind of be on people to order takeout and come and pick it up from us, of course. But, you know, that's kind of what we're aiming for, more meats and make the restaurant change. And we don't want necessarily be super seasonal, but there is, I mean, new salads and new things that we want to offer to kind of change it a little bit too. I mean, I guess all the restaurants that we're going to work on or create it or they're very seasonal. So for me to have in the same menu for 2 months sometimes kind of give me a little each. we have a lineup of different salads and things that we want to bring in and, you know, meats, I mean, as well. But if you're doing something right, why to change it? Well, we want to kind of keep it the way it is, but always have something new to offer to the customer.
I love that because you guys are definitely doing something right. And that's what I want to end this podcast by doing is just encouraging anyone who hasn't been to Rub yet, please get down there and try it. I mean, like rotisserie chicken is just one of those American things that I feel like it's a great connector. Everyone loves rotisserie chicken. Yep. And this is the best version that you are going to get in Omaha. You can go get a porchetta sandwich or, like you said, Palmyra, if you're not eating meat, come get some plantains. Come get some salads. Like, they're excellent here as well. So get to Rub. These guys are doing it right. You can hear it. Like, when it comes from a place in the past and you have those deep roots that are rooted in a concept, you know somebody is going to put their all into it because they care so much, because it means something to them. And that's clearly the case with you guys. Carlos and Palmyra, thank you so much for taking the time today to come on the podcast and talk about this. I am very, very grateful that, I mean, you talked about it. You go from 7 to midnight every day and you're taking an hour to come here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us. It's a great opportunity for us. And, you know, we appreciate what you do in the industry.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Omaha, as always, thanks for eating with us.
A Huda Media Production.